Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I am Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. Atop our Real Science Radio webpage, rsr.org/homosexuality, we embed Ray Comfort's stunning film from 2015 titled Audacity. If you haven't seen it, you must. This is true with all of the resources that God has blessed Ray Comfort to be able to produce. In 2009, on Bob Enyart Live, we interviewed him on his book, You Can Lead an Atheist to Evidence, But You Can't Make Him Think. In 2011, on his stunning abortion film called 180 The Movie. And then again, we interviewed Ray in 2013 on Evolution Versus God, another must-see film. And now, what an honor to use the 50,000-watt broadcast station entrusted to us by Crawford Broadcasting and by God, and the webcast the Lord has blessed us with while airing here on America's number one most powerful Christian radio station out of Denver, Colorado on AM 670 KLTT. We have back on Real Science Radio, Ray Comfort, to discuss his latest film, The Atheist Delusion. Ray, welcome back to Real Science Radio.
Well, thank you for having me back. I appreciate it, Bob.
Well, you're so welcome. I watched the film today. It's at the great website, atheistmovie.com. It's a Living Waters publication. It's really fun, Ray, but it's more than that. It's important. Could you tell us about the film?
Yeah, it was actually a mistake. I went to a local college to interview different people regarding a book that I produced, just to do a little promo for my publishers. It's called Made in Heaven. I talked to someone who's an atheist, and I used an illustration on him that I'd never used before in any atheist. And within minutes, he changed his mind about believing in God, and I thought, this is just amazing. So I went to different universities over the following months and asked the same question and found atheists would change their mind about God's existence because of this one scientific question. So we put it into this movie, and it's an hour-long movie, and in the studio we sat back and it brought us to tears. We thought, this is the best thing we've ever produced by the grace of God. But we couldn't promote it as such because Christians don't do that. You know, you don't blow your own trumpet, you let another man preach. And we're very fortunate that first couple of days that we made it available, thousands of Christians downloaded it, and we've been receiving back. It's having the same effect on people. It's bringing them to tears at seeing such rare honesty on film from those who profess atheism and coming and acknowledging God's existence. It's very moving.
And as you could imagine, for airing a creation evolution show for 25 years, we really love Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis and now the Ark Encounter nearby the Creation Museum. And so Ken is one of the Christian leaders who is just enthralled with this new film and encouraging people to see it.
Yeah, I love Ken. He does talk funny, but he's a wonderful guy, and he's got a passion for the Lord. And what I'm trying to get him to put wheels on that ark and bring it out to California for people to see. But we'll see what happens with that.
So in the film, this book that you're referring to, you place it in the hands of people who say that they're atheists. You ask them if it would be reasonable to think that molecules of ink just fell down out of the sky and just arranged themselves on paper, and you've got the sentence, the grammar, the punctuation, the period at the end of the sentences. If it all just happened in a non-directed way, is that reasonable? And they all say, of course, with their God-given common sense, it's not reasonable. It could not happen by accident.
Yeah, they say it's impossible, and they laugh when they say it.
Yeah.
And then we ask them that one scientific question that left them with their mouths open, and that's what the thrilling part is. But it's very important to realize that as Christians, we can't stay in the realm of apologetics. Apologetics, which I totally believe in, are just bait. And when you go fishing, if you just go with bait, you're going to end up with fat, happy fish. You've got to have a hook in there.
Yeah.
And so the wonderful thing for Christians is to see the swing to the gospel. See people become open when they realize God certainly does exist, and it's very evident, irrefutable. then that opens them to the gospel, and that's when you see the work done and you see evident change in people's eyes. You see them computing information as they're confronted with the gospel and their own sin. And I think that's the moving part. One thing that I found very moving when I watched it, when you're filming it, you're just up too close and up too personal to get into it. But afterwards, when I saw Richard, the New York elderly gentleman who was an atheist, he actually burst into our crowd at Huntington Beach and was very angry at God for his supposed inaction when it came to molested children, etc. He took it out on us, and then I got to interview him. And to see the change in his face and to hear him say he wanted to commit suicide, and then say afterwards on camera, if I make it to heaven, do you think I'll be bored?
Yeah.
And then say, why do you care about me? I'm a complete stranger. And it was a very moving, moving interview.
Right. That guy in my notes, I referred to him as the curmudgeon when he'd show up on the screen. He asked you, why do you care about me? I'm a stranger. And you said, because I love you. I'm a Christian. I'm not filled with hate like some religions. And it was so disarming, someone who's disagreeing with you, confronting you, and to let them know that you love them. It's just so powerful in this age of crass harshness to see a Christian share the gospel with a stranger. And really, in a few minutes, you no longer feel like the guy's a stranger. You feel like you're getting to know him.
You want to hug him.
Yeah.
Actually, we took him back. I said, do you want to meet Scotty, the guy he had been heckling 30 minutes earlier? We went back and introduced him to Scotty, and we gave him some gifts and a book to read and some literature, and we ended up praying with him together. So that was very moving, and I wish he'd lived locally. He's back somewhere in New York probably now, but I just trust that God's touched his life.
And Ray, I think by the time this film reaches its maximum audience, I think there will be millions of people praying for Haley. You talk to so many people, and each one is so significant. But just to see her thinking through and considering these truths about God, it's so powerful.
She was very sharp. When you mentioned DNA and this deoxyribonucleic acid, you think, boy, this person knows how to, they know a bit of stuff. And she was very sharp, and I said, would you consider evidence? And she said, it has to be out of this world evidence. And it was. You know, most of what I've said in the past to atheists has been like water off the duck's back. What this movie does is it rips the feathers off the duck. They just, this got to soak in, and it really does, and it did with Haley. And preceding that, I've been sitting in that university outdoors, Long Beach State University, holding a sign saying, I'll interview atheists for money. And people just looking at me weirdly. And I'd sat there for 30 minutes. Nobody approached me. Nothing happened. So I bent that sign in double, put it in the trash, and just stood there. And up came Haley, and I said, are you an atheist? She said, oh, yeah. I said, can I interview you? And she said, yes. And she was so humble, so sweet, and so honest. And she was a godsend.
You talk about using apologetics as the bait to get to the gospel. At our church, Denver Bible Church, we have shown your series, The School of Biblical Evangelism, and thank you so much for producing that. I'm thinking about one of the guys in the film. You are going through just a few of the Ten Commandments with him. You asked him if he's committed lust in his heart. Do you look at pornography? And he said, no. Then you say, do you tell lies? And he said, all the time. And then you said, do you look at pornography? And then he said, well, everybody does, and I do. So he just demonstrated that he lies, and he admitted that he lusts in his heart. And so the standard before God is not our standard. It's the Lord's standard of whether we are going to hurt one another forever and ever, or if we'll humble ourselves and let God know that we are sorry for the sin that we've committed against him and our loved ones and our neighbors and even against ourselves.
Yeah, there are some characters, very colorful people. There's another guy named Andrew. I'm sure you remember him. He's the one that said, I'm lying to myself.
Yeah.
And that was a very relevant moment in the film. In fact, he took me back. I didn't know he was going to say that. And you hear me say, what?
Yeah.
Did you say that again? Mm. He says, I'm a lion to myself. Here we have an atheist who is playing a real honesty on camera about his own state before God and his own philosophy. So we've got some footage there that it's gold. It's wonderful, and it's very encouraging for Christians to see. And we're thrilled that our YouTube channel has 39 million views. We've got a vehicle to put stuff like this out there. Because I think back to the big crusades that were held a number of years ago that were very popular. To get 80,000 people in a stadium, the logistics were crazy. Sometimes it would cost millions of dollars, take 2 or 3 years to organize. probably 70% of the people in there were Christians, and it was such a difficult thing to do. But now we have this incredible thing called the internet, which is used for evil but can be used for good, where we can reach literally millions at the click of a button. It really doesn't cost us a thing.
It is astounding. And so could you explain the model for being able to reach people with these films? The production value is superb. It's just a gorgeous film to watch. And the nature scenes, and of course, the scenes with the interviews of mostly young people on campuses, but it's all beautiful production value, and that costs a lot of money. And then to get on YouTube, so many film producers like Illustra Media, they're finding out that this is a real challenge to spend a ton of money making a great film, and then everybody sees it for free. And it's a struggle. So at Living Waters, how are you guys addressing that dynamic?
We found a model that works. For the last two movies we've done it, we just say, if you would like to see this movie early, it'll cost you $19.95. We'll give you some free material, and you help us have the financial ability to produce movies of this caliber and make this available freely on YouTube. And within the first 2 days, thousands of people responded and downloaded it. And so we're delighted to have this way of not having to ask for money, but people free to give. Still, they get to see it 7 weeks earlier if they go to atheistmovie.com. So we so appreciate that when that happens.
Yes, so atheistmovie.com. I so encourage people to go ahead and download it. We produce movies here on The Big Bang, The Global Flood, and so many topical videos on the issues that are tearing apart our nation, really. And we end up putting much of them, or even the entire videos, on YouTube. But those who buy the video become partners in our outreach. And so if you could go to atheistmovie.com, that would be just so super to purchase The Atheist Delusion. And the subtitle of the film is Why Millions Deny the Obvious, The Atheist Delusion. Let me ask you about Lawrence Krauss in your video. Ray, you say he was gracious to you, and that's wonderful. He's been on this show just a few months ago at the University of Toronto in March. He was especially cruel to Dr. Stephen Meyer, a Christian with the Discovery Institute. But Krauss, in your film, you're asking him about DNA, and he pointed to snowflakes as though that example of nature being able to form something complex is evidence that nature can create DNA. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, and with all due respect to my friend Lawrence, that is utterly ridiculous. The snowflake doesn't contain any information. It's just formed by nature in the sense of polarizing molecules. It happens because that's the way God's created it. DNA is a program that gives instruction on how to make eyes and ears and hearing and brains and blood and bones, flesh and birds and the birds' songs and our personalities. That is infinitely more complex than anything man can even begin to imagine. So to compare it to a snowflake is just ridiculous. But these men, they're blind. They don't understand. That's why we as Christians are asked to have patience, you know, meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. But never get upset with a blind man who tripped over a chair because he can't see. And these people can't see. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe God. And the only thing that will open their eyes is their understanding of the gospel. Mm. And to have that, you have to have a humble heart. And many of them don't. They're very proud.
Mm. You know, a snowflake, you have water molecules, and they attach to one end of a six-pointed star. And basically, the form is determined by humidity, temperature, the laws of physics. And because God made the physical universe the way he did, there's wonderfully beautiful things to see everywhere you look. But like you said, snowflakes are not information rich. The most they can tell you is something about humidity and temperature. That's it. But DNA is filled with encyclopedias worth of information, functional, specified information that describes how to make machines that interact in complex systems. And as you quote Bill Gates in the film, DNA is far more complex than any software program humans have ever produced.
Absolutely.
In the film, you also show Richard Dawkins, who, of course, we have discussed his claims on the show for years. And he's trying to explain something that Stephen Hawking and Lawrence Krauss has a book, A Universe from Nothing. And Dawkins is trying to explain how nothing created everything. Could you tell us about that scene?
Yeah, atheists often balk at that. I've said to them in the past, so you're an atheist, you believe the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything, and they'll say, no, no, I don't believe that. But Dawkins believes it, and he's on film saying, yeah, this is it's against common sense. It makes no sense, but it's exciting to think that nothing created everything. And then he made the mistake of calling the nothing he was talking about something, and immediately that invoked laughter from the audience.
Yeah.
It was a mocking laughter. And he was thrown into confusion. You can see it on his face. It's almost like a panic attack. And that's because, as an eloquent man, he's never had the experience of having people laugh in his face. But it's really an emperor has no clothes scenario. Someone has to say to this guy, this is nonsense. It's ridiculous. Nothing cannot create anything because it's nothing. A child understands that. And so it's a very powerful portion of film that we have, or video that we have, because it shows how foolishness atheism is at its core.
Well, a great apologist, Christian apologist, although he's an old earther from Oxford, Dr. John Lennox, I joined in on a science cruise to Alaska, and he was one of the speakers. And about that claim, he said this about the claim that nothing created everything. He says, nonsense is still nonsense, even when spoken by a PhD. And so they try to get around it by saying, oh, nothing is something. And Dawkins said, well, the something that was nothing that created the universe was a rather mysterious something. It's so obvious they're talking about God, but they don't have the humility to acknowledge him.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. God gave them life, and the essence of the commandment is to love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. And what sinful creatures we are, to not only deny his existence, but use his name as a cuss word and be unthankful for every wonderful gift he's giving us. Eyesight and hearing to enjoy good music, taste buds to enjoy good food, and loved ones, and this beautiful sky and the sunrises and all the things around us, we should be just beaming with thanksgiving, and we're not until God opens our eyes and brings us to himself.
Ray, there's a part in the film where you reference Psalm 139, and it sent chills down my spine because you think about the moment of conception when the father's sperm fertilizes the mother's ovum. At that moment, you have a little boy or a little girl. If it's two X chromosomes, it's a girl, an X and a Y, it's a boy. And so then that single cell, that tiny little baby, is flowing through his or her mother's fallopian tube toward her womb. So that substance is still unformed. And in Psalm 139, the psalmist speaks of God who formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. My frame, and that Hebrew word is skeleton, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. You quote that and tie that in to how God wrote our DNA in the very cells of our bodies.
I remember the day I read that, I just broke down in tears because we were just still producing the film. And to see yet being unformed, it's not saying this is a formed baby. My substance yet being unformed was all written in your book. And it is just, it's breathtaking. My editor, I might have mentioned when my first editor, when he took through the first copy, when he finished Evolution versus God, he just said, this will get them. But when he finished The Atheist Delusion, he just went into worship. And that's what this tends to do. It's challenging, it's encouraging, but it expands the faith of the Christian, those who are watching it and love God. It comes to a point of climax that brings you to a point of worship.
Two last questions for you about the film, The Atheist Delusion. One is on the chicken and the egg. And the other is when you said you're not trying to win an argument. We have said on this show for some years, when Charles Darwin and Richard Dawkins and all these guys stand before God on Judgment Day, and God says, I am going to query you, and they ask for a few months to prepare, and he gives them a few months. And then they come back, and the Lord says to them, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And they're all in a crisis. And you ask these educated young people, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And it's just so awesome to see them wrestling with such a simple question.
Yeah, there's one guy there, he must take 10 seconds to answer the question when I said to him, well, the chicken came first, but it laid an egg, was the egg fertilized?
Yeah.
And he just goes into a, like, glazed eyes, and you can see him thinking and thinking and thinking, because if he says, you know, it was fertilized, then there was a rooster, and then he's back to, in the beginning, God created male and female, and he didn't even want to go there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you asked him, you said, so where did the rooster come from? He said, the stars. The rooster came from the stars. And in fact, Bill Nye, the science guy, so-called, was recently at the ARC encounter, and the famous debate with him and Ken Ham from a few years ago, where 5 million people watched that debate on the internet. A stunning opportunity for Ken to share the gospel with the world. Well, in that debate, Bill Nye, I don't think he was lying. It's just his ignorance about science. He said, look at sexual reproduction. Look at how valuable that is for the preservation of species. And the truth is, from Richard Dawkins on down, the evolutionists who've tried to explain the origin of sexual reproduction have said it's a confounding mystery. Everything about Darwinism suggests that sexual reproduction would never arise, never. Because right off the bat, you throw away 50% of the genes that you're trying to conserve. And how would both the male and the female evolve together socially and physically and molecularly and chemically? It's so wildly complex. And then here is Bill Nye with the audacity, actually it's his ignorance, to claim sexual reproduction as proof, as evidence for Darwinism, when Darwinism cannot even begin to explain how you end up with a male and a female.
It's always important to remember that an atheist sees nothing wrong with lying, because there's no moral absolutes. They twist the truth to justify themselves, and we just got to keep that in mind when we're speaking to them.
Ray, then, the last comment about the film, you point out, I don't want to win an argument, but I want you to concede an obvious point. That was such a good way of moving the discussion, because often Christians will be in interaction with unbelievers and they raise a point that's undeniable. Then they'll leave it at that. They just leave it. And as you said earlier, what's the good of having bait without the hook? You just get fat, happy fish. You need to bring the discussion forward.
Yes, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So we have this agenda, and we have it politically also. You know, I'm concerned. I believe in getting men in high political places, but we as a nation, and as a church in the nation, seem to have lost the blueprint of the book of Acts. They didn't try and change the nation politically. They had the power of the gospel. And so we've got to remember this. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. We've got to understand the gospel, and without that, they're just going to be convinced that God exists, and they already know that anyway, according to Romans 1, verse 20.
Ray, we will link to the video, of course. We'll encourage our audience to get pre-release download copies of it so that we could continue to reach more and more people through Living Waters. What an honor it is to have you on this program. I think it's our fourth interview over the years, and we look forward to continued work as God uses you and your whole team.
Well, thank you for your encouragement. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. That is Ray Comfort of Living Waters. What a thrill to have Ray back on this program, Real Science Radio. You know, in the film, he talks about the sun being 93 million miles away. It's the way God created our solar system, the Earth. It's all so astounding. We have an article, a show on fine-tuning. It's rsr.org/fine-tuning. And Ray points out that the sun, he's talking to some guy who says he's an atheist, and he says, you know, the sun is 93 million miles away. We're rotating thousands of miles an hour. We're orbiting the sun at 63,000 miles per hour, and still, it's just warm enough to ripen your tomatoes. Then he goes on to talk about all the thousands of plants, fruits, and nuts that God made that are delicious, that taste so good, and all the resources we get from cattle. I mean, a cow is like a reservoir for what it saves up, years of nutrition. And remember, in ancient Egypt with Joseph, a cow will save up years of nutrition so that then our prosperity could be preserved, even in times of famine. God has provided for us in so many ways. In the film, there is an actress, Amanda Peet, and she's on a late night talk show. And she says that she wants to know what will happen when she dies. With just total sincerity, she said, "I don't want to be a bag of dust." Well-known people in the film who are saying, "Hey, there's got to be a God who made me. I am not an accident." And so the evidence is overwhelming. Atheism is a delusion. Atheopathy is what some people call it. It's a disorder. Ray Comfort points out to the people he's talking to, he says, there is no hope for you. Buddhism can't help you. Hinduism can't help you. Islam can't help you. You are hopeless. No one on earth can help you. But the Bible says there is salvation in no other name than Jesus Christ, the sinless man who came from heaven. In fact, God the Son became flesh to give his life on earth to pay the penalty that you and I owe. And so that is the gospel. On our website, rsr.org, it's also kgov.com. At the menu bar at the top, you could click on the gospel. We share the gospel on the air 1,000 times over. It is always there on every page of our website. And we literally have thousands of pages available with resources. At the top of every page, there is a menu item. On the right, it says the gospel. If you click on that, you will see perhaps the best presentation of the gospel on the entire internet. And if you don't think it is, let's say you look at it and you say, well, this doesn't quite speak to me, because some people are visual learners, others auditory, others like to read, others just by a relationship, one human being talking to another. We present the gospel from the scriptures. We present it in a YouTube video. We present it for kids, for teenagers, for sports fans. Each of these are links for readers who want to see the evidence, for evolutionists, for atheist readers, for photography lovers, for good people. Huh, that's people who think that they're good. And that link, by the way, goes to Ray Comfort's Way of the Master, a page on his site. For Catholics, for Protestants, for those who are ready to believe, or for movie lovers who speak any of 1,000 languages, literally, we link to the Jesus film in 1,000 different languages. Or if they want to learn the gospel from John's account, the whole fourth gospel, or from his third chapter, or from a single verse from the Apostle Paul. And with all those options, you can get a DVD in the mail for free from Bob and Yurt Live if you are a non-Christian. It is called Mount Moriah, Evidence for the Resurrection, or if you want to speak to a real person. So all that is available just by going to kgov.com, rsr.org, and then click on the gospel. That's rsr.org. And if you appreciate this ministry, this outreach, please click on the store or click on donate. And the materials that you purchase, 30-day money-back guarantee, they help us to continue on the air and to reach more and more people. So until the next program, I'm looking forward to seeing Fred Williams back in the studio. And this is Bob Inyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.